Welcome to the podcast of tomorrow, a Futurama podcast where today we are discussing season 5, episode 1, Crimes of the Heart. I am Lindsay Wilson, joined as always by the roasting Alex Coons. I don't know. Hello, Alex.
The ever increasingly warm Alex Coons as the years progress.
Indeed, indeed. How's it going?
It's good. I'm always, whenever I watch these episodes, I'm like, okay, is there anything in here that I haven't ever talked about with Lindsay? And I'm very excited to ask you about your partying days at university or college or whatever. The third act of this is like Bender like goes to a big party or there's like a big robot party. And I don't think I've ever quite delved into, you know, was Lindsay ever at a frat party? Let's hear those stories.
Incredible. Well, should we get to them when the time comes?
Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Okay, great. That's funny. I thought you were going to say like, and I was wondering about your degree of fatalism about global warming.
Like, no, much more interested in partying.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Good. What's happened since last week? And nobody listens to our podcast anymore.
Not really, but that's okay.
That's okay. I don't know what's happened. I look to see and like make sure everything's still going to the appropriate sites and everything.
I do know that I have an Android phone and I used Google Podcasts and that is being shut down. I think that we had like 5 downloads per week on Google Podcasts, but that could be something. What podcatcher do you use? Because I had to go find a replacement and they were all nightmares.
Yeah, I use something called Player FM, which no one seems to know about, but it is very similar, I think, to like Pocket Casts.
Yeah.
But it's free and I like it.
I downloaded one and it was just like completely unusable. And I was a little bit aghast that there like was not a consensus podcatcher like at the top of the Google Play Store.
I've been using this one for like 5 years and I have no complaints. And also, I think there aren't that many people that use it. So whenever I send a service request, they update my thing like immediately.
Oh my God. What do you mean? Like,
I'll be like, oh, this feed doesn't look like it's updating. And like within a couple hours, they'll be like, hey, Lindsay, like we updated the feed.
Yeah. Oh my God. You should send an email being like, hey, I think this pod of tomorrow is not like being shown properly. Can you like,
yeah, no, I always download that one. I'm one of the like 90 downloads. So anyway,
I just decided to use Spotify for podcasting, which
not supporting small podcast businesses.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are a Spotify exclusive with us.
True. So. Good point. Good point. All right. So Crimes of the Heart, Alex, what did you make of this?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Season premiere. I think they came out fairly strong. I like that. It was pretty self-contained. Again, like no huge B plot. Maybe like, again, once we get into the like robot party, that's like an end episode bike race where it's like, we do a lot of global warming in the first 2/3. And then the last third is like, obviously still global warming stuff is being talked about, but it's more about like, let's make a bunch of robot party jokes.
I always refer to scenes like that as a roll call whenever shows are like, here's a reminder of everyone you've ever seen on the show previously. And I think there was a note on the infosphere that was like, all robots we've ever seen are in this. Let me see. It says, with the exception of like Flexo and a couple others, let me check.
Oh,
robot Elders and Robot Santa. And I was like, well, I didn't see the Alex's beloved wig robot anywhere. But
oh my God. Yeah, I forgot about that. Was this the introduction of Hedonism Bot?
I don't know. I was trying to think about that too. I don't remember seeing him before now, but, and I think we would have commented on him.
Yeah. Certainly he got like, it made me think it was his introduction because they focused a lot of attention on him on very basic jokes of like, you know, it's like the first time they're running these jokes past.
First
past
time
folks.
He's doing it's like, oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's a big character. I mean, I feel like they really go all in on Hedonism Bot, for the rest of the run and into the future seasons.
Yes, let me Google him because I think that's a good question. And I was thinking the same thing. Like this felt like an introduction. Hedonism Bot, first appearance, Crimes of the Hut.
There we go.
There you go. Beautiful. And I think
this
we
makes me, Hedonism Bot makes me. Have you played Hades?
No.
Hades is a great game. You should play Hades, but it's like Greek mythology focused. And, you know, it's just the styling of Hedonism Bot is very reminiscent of Hades.
Yeah, he's definitely got some like, I don't know, Dionysus vibes or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look at you. My God. Yeah, I only know that from Hades.
Yes.
Have you never seen any? Have you heard of Hades before?
The game?
Yeah.
Or in general?
Yeah.
I did watch Hercules. No, I've never heard of the game.
Okay. It's a great game. It is very horny, like unintentionally. It's like Greek mythology and lots of great gameplay, but then there's like lots of dialogue and lots of interaction with all these characters from Greek mythology, and they're all very fit and athletic and
available on the Switch.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Has been cited among the greatest video games of all time, praising its narrative, gameplay, art style, music, and voice acting.
Yeah.
Wow. Why have I not heard of this? Did you play Hades 2?
Hades 2 is not out yet, but I did watch like 45 minutes of a like alpha testing stream that the developers just showed and got very hyped for it.
It says Hades 2 was announced in 2022. I thought it said came out in 2022. But
yeah.
Great. All right. Well, this is good because I have really burned through my N64 aspirations in the last couple months. So.
If you go download this today, I predict that you will have like 20 hours by the next time that we record.
Oh, God. That's not good for me, played. Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes. Okay. That's good to know. And also, of course, Thousand Year Door coming
imminently. Of course. Yeah.
Priorities. Okay. Well, this is good. This is good. I need a new game. So,
yeah.
All right. Great. All right, so what's happening? Crimes of the Heart. We have touched on it. So let's jump into the opening caption. Known to cause insanity in laboratory mice. Which
yeah, that made me think of Lost. Good old Eloise the mouse in The Constant, which is the greatest episode of Lost. They have a little lab rat running around doing time travel and stuff.
What else happens in The Constant?
You don't remember that? Man,
I don't know the names.
You gaslit me for like 3 years of our friendship with me thinking that you were like an equally insane Lost person as I am.
I have watched it one time all the way
I
through.
I think I just assumed.
And I also watched it all the way through in like a rapid
yeah,
burn.
A fugue state.
Yeah. I think it was like I was about to move to Toronto and I remember just burning through like 10 episodes a day while I was packing. And
I totally thought you were, you know, all aboard all the Lost podcasts, rewatched it, you know, I just assumed.
Watched it for the first time in 2020 or 2019. Yeah.
Yeah. Constant. That's the best episode of Lost by far. That's the one where Desmond is like jumping back and forth through time and it ends with a phone call to Penny.
Yes. Right. A 9.7 on IMDb. And a Reddit thread. What makes The Constant so good?
It really is so good. I remember it. I when I watched Lost as it was airing, I would go over to my friend Chase's house and we would watch it there. And I remember I watched that episode and then I went back home and I just immediately watched it again. And it's like the only time I ever did that of like, I have to watch that again right now.
I love that you're like, you gaslit me for 3 years. You just really wanted to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did
yeah,
listen to a lot of Down the Hatch, but...
Yeah,
they were so
maybe
long.
that's how it came up. But and I also think that you didn't actually do anything. I just assumed that Lindsay is the type of person that will be obsessed with Lost.
That is correct. Yeah, I'm definitely that type of person with my TV podcasts. Boop Corner, Alex.
Boop, there it is.
I didn't even look at the cartoon this time, I'm realizing.
I do love our meta here of me writing down a description of the cartoon and then you looking up the details without having watched the 3 second clip. This one is somewhat graphic or like somewhat startling. It's like a guy is playing a trumpet and he puts the trumpet right in the face of the other character and blows, and the character who is getting his face blown by a trumpet, his eardrums pop out of his ears and there are these big drums that say eardrums on them. So it's like,
that's too fine a point on it.
Yeah, being assaulted by a trumpet.
This is called Much Ado About Mutton, which is a short from 1947.
Sounds like a Simpsons title.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a description of it. It looks problematic. Featuring a wolf. Big Bad Wolf, who is a glutton for that mutton, almost catches the dancing lambs by disguising himself as their favorite musician, Little Boy Blue. But he can't pull the wool over Brave Blackie's eyes.
Interesting. What was that phrase? Glutton for mutton?
Glutton for that mutton, yeah.
Okay. We can do maybe a Pot of Tomorrow Con, the like pre-show dinner. We can say we're all going out for mutton.
A disaster. This ends with the odds are high that the wolf is out there somewhere working on a Little Bo Peep outfit. I wonder on what basis they say that.
Yeah.
Well, that clip from the cartoon made an appearance in the 2003 remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Incredible. All right. So let's see. The episode opens up. There's a heat wave going on and Leela's going to create a swimming pool out of instant pool water that includes dead leaves. Nice little touch there.
Yes. It reminded me of the Poolmobile, of course, from The Simpsons.
True. Poolmobile. Oh, great episode. I also like Fry repeatedly in this episode being like, it's hot. How hot is it?
Just doing bits with himself.
Yeah. One of my prouder moments, I was at a meeting one time. It's like a board meeting at this theater that I worked at. And someone stood up there in front of everyone and had a microphone and everything and was like, I don't know, tried to do like a roast thing of like, he's so old. And I was just like, how old is he? And no one else did it. Like, I'll play along. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, and they were appreciative of that, or you were like, they consider it to be
Yeah.
like heckling? Okay.
Yeah, no, this guy was like, oh, thank you. I
I see.
was like,
That's
I
very
know
good.
things about comedy.
This reminds me of last night we were watching a TV show, and it's like too long to even get into, but I decided to pause the show and tell Laura about the Homer giving Bart the talk about women and saying women are a lot like refrigerators, are 6 feet tall, 300 pounds, and make ice. And that gives off the same energy of like Laura was not really appreciative of this fact,
His
or
characterization.
I found it, well, certainly the characterization of women, but just the idea of me having this joke that I'm very proud to share with folks and everyone else being like slightly disinterested slash annoyed that it's being done.
Yeah, that happens all the time where I'll tell Cam, like, oh, I gotta tell you about this. And he's like, we really needed to like stop down for this joke that I don't care about even a little bit. It's unfortunate. Speaking of making ice, my refrigerator is not working and is no longer making ice. So
No, is your refrigerator running?
it's this is exactly right. I do need to go catch it because it seems to be having some issues. I called someone, but they have not yet replied. Devastating.
Homeownership.
I know, my God, I was so annoyed. Went to like get water from the little water dispenser thing, and it was like error. I was like, no, why can't I call a landlord anymore? Anyway, Nibbler drinks all the pool water, burps out a cloud of chlorine gas, and everyone gets poisoned, or in the case of Bender, rusted.
Are you a summer swimming pool girl growing up? Did you have like a neighborhood pool or anything of that sort?
We didn't have a neighborhood pool, but I did very much like swimming, but I always hated the sun. So it's like
Conflict
a
with each
story of my
other.
life is just to like spend the entire summer being like, how can I swim without a sunburn?
Some YMCA something or other.
Yeah, exactly. The dream would be like a pool under a big tree. My aunt actually, they moved when I was in my teens and they had a pool that was like half of it was like covered by shade from a tree. And I was like, I'll just stay here. It's perfect. Yeah, cool.
I was a big pool kid growing up as well. I think I probably told the story of the 4th of July party at the pool. My neighborhood threw like an incredible event. Probably 500 to 1,000 people attended,
My
and
God.
big like barbecue. There's like a big green space with big barbecue and music and all that stuff, and then a big pool, and they had all sorts of pool games. I was a fairly strong swimmer, but my best friend and neighbor Jared was not a particularly strong swimmer. And one of the events that they did was the penny dive.
I
So
hate a
they're,
penny dive.
yes, the penny dive. And in addition to pennies and nickels and quarters and whatever, they also dumped a couple of quarters with like red stickers on them. And if you got those, you could then go redeem them for like $5 or a dollar or
Whoa.
something. So that was the real, like, that was really what you were diving for, were those red stickers. But anyways, Jared was not as strong of a diver, and he would just get absolutely pummeled in these penny dives. Like, it's just like there's like 100 kids in the pool all underwater. There's like no
Seems
law
dangerous.
underwater because there's like no adults that can actually see
No
what's
law
going on as
underwater.
you're 3 feet underwater in a pool. And so I think he like legitimately came up with like a bloody nose once
Oh
of
my
like being smashed into a wall.
God. Wow. Tough luck for Jared. Oh my God. Yeah, I always hated that. I was never good at diving. I'm still not. And also, when I first was learning how to swim, I vividly remember the only thing that I have ever been like held back in before the very first like swimming course or whatever. They were like, this kid needs to do this again because she refuses to put her face in the
Wow. Okay.
water.
So you had to take the course for a second time or
The
be held
second
back.
time, because I was under the impression that, and I was probably like six in the scenario, but I was under the impression that the second you put your face in the water, you start drowning. And it's just a question of like, can you get up in time before you die? And so I
Okay,
was
and
like,
so
why
you
would
would,
anyone do this?
so you just refuse to put your face in the water or put it in for like a fraction of a second?
Yeah. And they were like, just like put your face, like just stand here and like dunk your face in the water. Like don't go under, just like put your face in. And I was like, absolutely not. Like this is a
I will
trap.
be dying if
I
you do
will be
that.
dead. Yeah. And so I was just like, why is anyone risking this? Like, what if you don't come up in time? Anyway, by the following season, I was like seven and was prepared at that point to understand that you could just hold your breath. So yeah, anyway, global warming, Alex. None like it hot.
Yes, great. Great title of this video, very Tremaclore-esque video. Yes. None Like It Hot, a famous Lost episode from season 5. Some Like It Hoth.
Yes, of course.
Which is the Miles episode, the one and only Miles episode. And they're like back in time, and Hurley talks about rewriting Empire Strikes Back. And so they named the episode about Hoth.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Pretty bad episode. Title makes no sense, but there you go.
It's about Hoth. They just really wanted the pun, and they're like, how can we work backwards from this title?
Yes. What did you think of this Tremaclore-esque video?
Yeah, I loved this. I love how disdainful the narrator is of that little kid that he's talking to. Where you're probably wondering why your ice cream went away. And then he's like, it's global warming. She's like, global wawa? And he's like, yeah. And then at the end, she's like, all right, well, we solved the problem once and for all. And she's like, but wait, he's like, once and for all. Like, he hates Susie.
It, definitely the energy of the Bovine University kid.
Shivering.
Yeah, exactly. This is, as this started, it reminded me of, we got an email from, let's see, December 15th. So 3 or 4 months ago, they're writing in and they said that they used this clip as part of their capstone presentation in college, a paper about climate engineering / geoengineering, where the focus of many of the solutions is the plan B / worst case scenario / Hail Mary actions that don't actually target the problem, but rather the symptoms, like putting giant mirrors into space or the giant ice cube.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I really like how they characterize the sunbeams, where they're like, oh, now I'll be on my way, like, not so fast. And they just like beat the hell out of the sunbeam. And then the global warming is that all the sunbeam corpses are rotting in the atmosphere.
I mean, it is an effective description. I have no idea what the greenhouse effect is. I have no idea how any of this is actually caused other than pollution. So it's an effective metaphor, I guess.
Yes, our handsomest politicians came up with the last minute solution.
Yeah.
A giant ice cube every now and then in 2063 seems late.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a route that the real world eventually goes in a couple of years of, oh God, let's re-add, some glaciers somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the mirror in space thing that we'll see later, as you just mentioned, that does seem kind of like what's happening.
Yeah,
like, how can we reflect a bunch of sunlight back or whatever? Yeah, and they're trying to like block a bunch of sun. Yeah, anyway.
I like the one moment from the video is they're describing putting a giant ice cube in the ocean, and the little girl says, just like daddy puts an ice cube into his drink, then he gets mad.
So dark. This is like one of the darker jokes I think we've seen.
Yeah.
But it is funny that as they're watching this video and learning about the ice cube thing, Richard Nixon calls like 2 minutes later and is like, hello, go deliver this ice cube.
Yeah. I did think that, where Nixon just like has them on a personal line and just knows to turn to them. So pretty good for, I guess they're like government contractors.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, exactly. Yeah. The direct line. And they find out that this is the way that they get the ice is by going to Halley's Comet, and it is the only sufficient source of ice without bugs in it.
Yes. Have you seen either of those asteroid hitting the Earth movies? It's Armageddon and Deep Impact. I think. I have seen neither of them, but they're all so often referenced together. And at least I think Armageddon is like kind of beloved as a schlocky, dumb movie.
Yeah. So I think they came out at the exact same time. There's even a joke on Friends where Chandler can't sleep and he's like, which one was Armageddon and which one was Deep Impact? And then, and then Monica's like, Deep Impact was the one with Robert Duvall, and Armageddon is what's going to happen to you if you wake me up.
Isn't Bruce Willis in one of those?
Yes, Bruce Willis is in Armageddon, and I believe Liv Tyler, possibly.
Well, that I'm just thinking about the continuity of Friends, with Bruce Willis being the father of Ross's very young girlfriend.
True. Oh yeah, good point. Billy Bob Thornton, Bruce Willis, Liv Tyler. Yeah, nailed it. I got nervous as soon as I said it, because I know that Don't Want to Miss a Thing plays in there. And I was like, maybe I just have like a Steven Tyler connection.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, I have seen Armageddon, have not seen Deep Impact. I think Armageddon is the one that people think of more fondly.
Yeah. I think Don't Look Up can be added to the comet / asteroid media, as well as the very depressing Melancholia. Have you seen that one?
No, but that sounds depressing.
I think that's the moon is crashing into the Earth, and it's like a Kirsten Dunst. It's like there's like three actors in the movie, and they're all just like hanging around at this like French estate being depressed as the end of the world is coming.
Very Majora's Mask.
Yeah, it really
crash
is.
Into it. Yeah. I really like the line from the professor here where he's like, there's no safer occupation than mining, especially when perched on a snowball whipping through space at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, really nice animation as they're landing on the comet. Like it goes from that line to a like very intense transition as the spaceship is landing on the comet. And yeah, looks very fancy. Maybe some season five budget.
Yeah, they bring this giant cup that's on top of the ship, which I think is a very funny look. And then it's like they drill down and they have basically an ice cube dispenser, but they are out of ice, and that's
Yes.
bad.
But yeah, it makes the horrible noise that a fridge makes when it's out of ice, and like the tiny little ice flakes come out of it. Very accurate, a broken old fridge trying to make ice.
Yes, exactly. And so, as we often do with these things, we cut straight back to the news broadcast with Linda and Morbo. His head is doing this very funny, like, inflating and deflating thing as he's super hot.
It's like a frog. Like he like trying. Yeah, he looks like a little bit sweaty.
Yeah, he says he's pleased but sticky. Yes. And so the broadcast covers also these African turtles that are migrating to Holland in search of warmer climates. And this is where Bender gets really sad and starts empathizing with these turtles.
Yeah, the turtles are fairly heavily featured in this episode for kind of no reason. Bender like
Weird.
takes a real liking to them, and I like the joke that Bender also can't turn over if he gets knocked on his back. But yeah, a little bit, I don't hate it, but it's just a little bit weird that it's in these episodes. I like the Morbo line. Morbo wishes these stalwart nomads peace among their Dutch tombs.
Tulips.
Tulips.
It's much more gentle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I also had that written down because it's very funny. But yeah, I agree. The turtle thing is really strange, kind of out of nowhere. And it is a huge part of Bender's story, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, in the next scene, we see that he has actually gone to Holland to help the turtles. Now he has these little wooden clog feet.
Yes, that was very good. They cut to like Fry's like, did you go to Holland? And they just cut to his feet doing a little tap dance.
And they say that a turtle isn't you. Why do you care about it?
He says he cares about things that remind him of himself, which is very accurate.
Yes, exactly. He said that he is just like a turtle. He has a tough outer shell, a rich inner life, and also neither of them can roll over if they land on their back. And yeah, Leela has a very mean sentence where she says, "You're both alcoholic, whoremongering, chain smoking gamblers."
Shelly the turtle disparaging. I like that Bender qualifies that all the other times when he was on his back and knocked over and got up, he said those times I was on slightly on my side.
Yes. I wonder if, I mean, obviously that's to get ahead of anyone being like, I went back and watched every episode and I hope someone got fired for this. But yeah, everyone is terrible. So yeah, they immediately are like, okay, we're going to knock you over and see if this is true. And Bender's like, that's what I get for sharing my vulnerability. So then a civil defense van is driving around being like, all scientists have to report to Kyoto. And there's a worldwide conference where they're going to try to solve this global warming problem.
Yes, Kyoto, the anagram lovers, Tokyo. I really love that sign.
So good. I have it bolded and underlined in my notes. This is
Yeah,
so funny.
wow.
I love it so much. They also say to the guy who's like, I have a degree in homeopathic medicine, you've got a degree in baloney.
Yeah. Have you attended any science conferences like this?
Not important ones. I've been to a bunch of unimportant ones.
Yeah.
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 It's all very exciting and super boring. I do like that the civil defense van is the MC of the event.
I did like that. And also it was funny that they quickly identify robots as the problem, and the van is still like there emceeing the event as a robot.
True. I wonder if he doesn't think of himself as a robot.
Yeah. I also wonder if he was on Robot Party and whether we need to make an amendment to the wiki.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the professor is also super reluctant when he finds out he has to go in the first place. And he's like, I'm not going. I have a turkey cooking, whatever, fine, I'll go. And he also is reluctant to go speak until eventually he's like, I'm fine, I'm going to speak. And then Al Gore is like, yes, it's your turn.
Yes, I do love Al Gore is like, I guess he's not the MC. I guess the van is the MC, but Al Gore is here and kind of like leading the discussion on how we're going to fix the problem. He is the first emperor of the moon. He says he has ridden the mighty moonworm.
Also the inventor of the environment, which I think is very funny.
He's written a couple of books about it. The first book, nobody was interested. But then when he wrote the book, Harry Potter and the Balance of Earth, people were very interested.
Yeah, so much better seller. They also say he's going to defend against pollution and also dark wizards. And then there is a wizard with like horns on his head, and he's like, oh, I blame the wizards. But apparently, this is based, I don't know if this is canon. It was in the infosphere that this guy is based on Tim from Monty Python.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought Al Gore says like the prize for solving global warming is like a pile of sapphires. And I really thought that this was going to actually play a plot point into the sapphires somehow doing something. But no, it never comes up again. But the evil wizard with horns really wants the sapphires to open some like
art.
Yeah.
So the first contestant to go up is Dr. Wernstrom, of course. And he has this giant mirror, which he's clearly already built and it's just like ready to go. And it reflects 40% of all sunlight back off of Earth and immediately gets like slightly chipped by a passing little asteroid. And I was like, this feels like, didn't this happen to the Hubble telescope or something? Like immediately bad things happened. And they were worried about it happening to the Webb one as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that, but it definitely seems likely that you get put this like giant intricate device in space and then something goes slightly wrong and it becomes like actually a deterrent and like actually dangerous rather than helpful.
We've noted over the last couple of episodes that it's like the way things are written in the infosphere, it's been very helpful to not have to take as many notes, but also there's a line here that struck me as very funny. It says, the mirror is struck by a passing meteorite, which causes it to turn and reflect the sunlight onto Kyoto, frying part of the conference center away. Obviously, this is not the optimal solution.
Yeah.
Nice. Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. That seems like they are definitely trying to do something like this. But there's a note in here that says, Wernstrom's space mirror by blocking 40% of the sun's rays would cause a catastrophic ice age.
Oh my God.
So,
I mean, maybe we just block like 2% then.
Yeah, there you go. I think when they talk about the sun blocker thing that they're talking about right now, I think the plan for that one is like 1% or something.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the next guy who goes up is Farnsworth, and he's like, all right, I caused it. Actually, it was when I was working at Mom's Friendly Robot Company, and I was pressured to create a bigger, sportier robot.
Yeah, he's like very apologetic and distraught about, you know, causing this whole issue. And he puts a gun to his head and Fry says, no, no, don't do it. And he says, don't do what? Use a memory ray to remember what happened. And
yes,
just zaps his head with green memory ray.
Yeah, he has a C-3PO type robot. He's like, may I favor master with a kiss on the forehead?
Yeah.
And he just gets crushed instantly.
Yeah, very sad for C-3PO.
Mm-hmm. And so he decides to build the sport utility robot that Mom tells him to build, and they're going to classify it as a light truck. And Farnsworth is like, oh, I guess the environment could take one more for the team.
Yes, he was tired and in love, and that's why he did not make it more
fuel efficient.
Fuel efficient, yeah.
Yeah. Fry says, that's awful, Professor, especially the making out part.
Yeah. Have we gotten lore of the professor and Mom being together in the past?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so too.
One, the episode where all the robots, she like made them rise up or whatever, and the greeting card was like, comrades, whatever. They were like making out in that one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like Al Gore being like, yeah, I didn't need to hear that. I've been listening to a lot of the West Wing Weekly, just go back to me listening to podcasts about shows that no one cares about except us. The West Wing Weekly people they keep interviewing this guy. I think it's Eli Addy, who was like a writer on the show, and he used to work with Al Gore. And he was like, Al Gore was like very aware of the jokes about him that everyone thought he was super boring. And he was like in on the joke. Like, he didn't help him be less boring, but he at least knew that people thought of him that way.
I mean, my favorite Al Gore joke is when Lisa buys the copy of UFO books and also Al Gore's biography for some reason, and the like purchase information gets wired directly to the White House with the misdirect of you thinking it's because the White House knows about aliens, but instead it's just Al Gore very excited that somebody bought his book.
Yeah, they play that celebration song and he goes, yeah. I will. Yeah, very good. And it is the real Al Gore, confirmed. So very funny. All right, so Wernstrom is like, all right, well, we have to destroy all the robots immediately and permanently, and the conference is now over, and Al Gore is off to collect cans on Jupiter.
I thought about how does that even work with Jupiter being a gas giant.
Yes, there you go.
Does Jupiter have gravity? Here's a question.
Probably, right?
You just get sucked into like the center of the gas.
Does Jupiter have gravity? That's greater than the gravity on Earth because Jupiter is more massive. But
what
surface gravity is just 2.4 times that of Earth's gravity.
Like, is there a surface to Jupiter or is it all just gas?
All right, hold on. Let's see. The planet is mostly a giant ball of gas and liquid and also has a dark ring system composed of fine dust grains. I mean, it says mostly, so it says the core is probably made up of layers of metals and rocks along with methane ice, ammonia ice, and water ice.
We do not yet know if a solid surface exists on Jupiter. Jupiter's clouds are thought to be about 30 miles thick. Below there is 13,000 miles of thick layer of hydrogen and helium, which changes from gas to liquid. and then beneath that, a deep sea of liquid metallic hydrogen. That's like metal. That's crazy. That's awesome.
The always good for this sort of thing, Quora. Could you walk with Jupiter's gravity? Answer, Jupiter does not have a solid surface, so walking would be rather difficult. Everyone on here is an asshole. Oh, so good.
I like this. I'm on coolcosmos.ipac.caltech.edu, and there's a YouTube video here. I'm just going to screen share briefly. So it's this article, does Jupiter have a solid surface? But there's an embedded YouTube video here, which seems to be about Jupiter. But then you inspect it further, and it is Middle Earth an exoplanet? And it's a thumbnail of Jupiter with the one ring around it.
Oh, my God.
So I really thought that this was going to be a video about Jupiter. And for some reason, they used like some Lord of the Rings.
It seems very reasonable that you would think this would be about Jupiter.
Yeah, but...
Explore Exoplanets, episode 10.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, well.
Powerful stuff.
Further watching for the audience.
Yes, yes. I have been watching a lot of the things that you mentioned in passing on these podcasts. I watched the Staples thing. What else did I
oh
send you?
Oh, my God.
I watched Staples that guy sitting weird.
Yes. Riker sitting weird, where he steps over the chair.
Over the chair.
Sits on it.
Yeah, I sent it to Cam because he really liked that show, and he thought it was very funny and had never noticed that before. So it's a good recommendation. All right, so all the robots get an invitation to go to the Galapagos Islands. It's directly from Richard Nixon, and he's like, I'm having a big party. No escape from the fun. All must attend. And then Zoidberg thinks he's very clever, and he's like, it's a trap is why.
I don't hear any gasping.
Yeah, we all figured that out. Yeah, why would Nixon, an awkward and uncomfortable man, suddenly throw a party?
Yeah.
Fry says, we'll pile fruit on you and claim you're a bowl to help protect Bender.
I love that strategy. That's the strangest strategy for distracting from the fact that Bender is indeed a robot.
Yes. Bender, very unlike himself, he has found something that he's willing to die for, and it is the turtle. And he's like, I'm going to go, and it's just going to happen. He does take the turtle with him, which seems questionable, where it's like, obviously the turtle is going
to
die as well. Yeah. It's like, I'm willing to die for this turtle as long as the turtle is dead as well.
Yeah. I really love the montage of all the robots going to the party. The one that I liked was a robot gets in a cannon and like shoots himself to the Galapagos Island. And then the cannon stands up and puts on a little travel hat and grabs like some luggage and then slowly starts walking.
Yeah, it was good. A lot of good robot visual stuff here. This is a fun scene, even though I agree with you. It is like late game bike race. Don't touch my stuff after I'm dead. It's booby trapped. I think that's worth saying. Bender is sad through this whole montage because he knows what's going on, but clearly no one else has figured it out, which is baffling.
The Crushnator makes an appearance, asks Bender to dance.
Yes, yes. All the robots on the planet are hanging out, and Wernstrom is planning to use his giant mirror to fire an electromagnetic pulse on the Galapagos Islands. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't kill the turtle. Is that what we're supposed to believe?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, probably would... make the turtle completely unaffected.
Maybe. I don't know. What happens if you get hit by an electromagnetic pulse?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Also, they have agreed that the headless torso of Agnew is now going to belong to Dr. Wernstrom.
Okay, yeah. So what is this? Is this a character that we've seen before?
I think we've seen him before, but wasn't he the vice president for Nixon?
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yes, until his resignation in 1973. Yeah, criminal conspiracy, bribery, extortion, and tax fraud. And I think all of this was before Watergate.
Okay, so in Futurama, he's still hanging out with Nixon, but he's now a headless torso. Yeah.
Yeah, he just does things for Nixon. Look at me with some moderate U.S. history knowledge.
Yeah. Lindsay, what is your party experience? Any Galapagos-style parties?
No, I was often the person who was driving people home. We didn't really have like a Greek life thing at the school I attended. It's not as much of a thing in Canada. I think like some places have it. I'm going to say this. Our many listeners are going to write in and be appalled. But yeah, I think it's like less of a thing to have like frat parties and like sorority things.
Yeah.
But like certainly there were lots of parties going on. And I was just like, not into it. I didn't drink when I was in university. So I was like, why would I go hang out with these people who are just like absolutely wrecked?
Yeah. I never really there. We had like campus-wide, like spring concert, and everyone was like outside and there was music and everyone got drunk. And so I went to that kind of stuff. And we also didn't have a ton of Greek life, or we didn't have any Greek life, but there was like kind of equivalents of like interest house of like, here's Spanish house is throwing a party or whatever.
Robot house.
Yeah, exactly. The rowdiest one was the house called Crack House, because there's like a big crack in the foundation through the center of the house. And so it's like a chicken and the egg of, is Crack House the rowdiest because it's called Crack House, or was it rowdy and therefore then named after the crack in the house?
Maybe my roommate in my first year of university, we got paired up somehow, and we'd both asked for like medium quiet because I was like, I need some incentive to talk to people. Otherwise, I'll just like sit in silence for 4 years. It's also way more of a thing here to only spend your first year in residence. So,
Yeah,
anyway, but yeah,
I think that's
so
a thing in the States as well. But my college was like in the middle of nowhere, and so everyone just stayed
right.
on campus the
Yeah,
whole time.
fair. But yeah, so anyway, so we'd both pick like moderate, and she definitely should have picked like party all the time floor. And like, I often had to go fetch her because she'd be like, I forgot my key. And it'd be like 3 a.m. and she'd frantically call me. And I'd like go downstairs and she's just absolutely destroyed. She's like,
When
let
was
you
the
back
last time you
in.
talked to this person?
Oh, geez, probably like 2010. Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah, honestly, like we stayed in touch for like a year after that, maybe. And then it was like, all right, well, this was never meant to be a
Moving
permanent
on.
relationship. Yeah. All right. So Bender is telling the turtle what's going on. And then all the other robots find out because there's like a microphone robot who's listening in, very much like the big ear guy in the sewer. Yeah, gotcha. All right. So everyone freaks out. This is where we meet Hedonism Bot. I do have a note that just says Hedonism Bot. So clearly I wanted to flag that.
Yeah, me too.
And Bender's like, we need to allow this. We pollute too much and we're killing all the turtles. So we need to just accept our fate.
Yes, a very interesting solution here. They're going to thrust Earth further from the sun by all, sending their exhaust in the same direction. I wonder if, so it's interesting that in the real world, we are trying to reflect 1% of the sun's light. Do you think anyone has ever talked about what if we just scoot our orbit a little bit?
What if we fire all the exhaust at once? Yeah, interesting. There was something else on here about this. The professor's plan of pushing the Earth further from the sun, making the year 1 week longer, would actually reduce the amount of solar radiation striking the Earth by about 2.5%. Some experts have suggested this would be enough to halt global warming in its present state. So apparently, people have thought about this.
Here we go. The most plausible method involves redirecting asteroids or comets roughly around 100 kilometers wide via gravity assists around Earth's orbit and towards Jupiter or the Sun and back. The aim of this redirection would be to gradually move Earth away from the Sun, keeping it within a continuously habitable zone.
Oh.
This scenario has many practical drawbacks.
Yeah, no shit. Such
Besides the
as
fact that it
how to
spans
do it.
timescales far longer than human history.
Hilarious. Oh, God.
Lengthening the Earth's orbital period would also lengthen the seasons, potentially causing disruption to life at a higher and lower latitudes due to extended winter and summer months. I think I'm more interested in moving the Earth than reflecting the sun because it's something different. It's like, oh, we get like bonus spring,
Yeah. Reflecting the sun, I'm like, oh God, we're so screwed. Like, this is going to be really
Yeah, we are.
bad. Yeah, but we're definitely not thinking this all the way through. But yeah, so Professor calculates that every single robot has to do this, and Bender has fallen over onto his back. Chekhov's falling onto his back, and he can't get up, and so he can't use his exhaust thing. I did kind of like seeing what all the different robots have as far as like exhaust things go.
Lots of different ways that they like reveal their exhaust pipes. I do love the line as Bender is failing to do so. Some lazy or polite robot is holding it in.
Yes, and I also really liked the professor at the same time saying, a billion robot lives are about to be extinguished. The Jedi are going to feel this one.
Yeah, that's a joke that I actually remember or when that was said. I had a flashback to hearing that the first time through and loving that joke the first time
That's very
I
funny.
heard it.
I did not remember that joke at all. That's very good. So yeah, so Bender's turtle, Shelly, manages to rock a bunch of times back and forth and gets up. And so Bender uses the same strategy, overcomes his hurdle, and he is able to push the planet away.
I like that Bender's exhaust is like the blue
Yeah.
flame in the exhaust. Nice little
Yeah, he
detail.
seems to be especially pollutant. But anyway, Richard Nixon's head gives the professor the polluting medal of pollution, which like emits these little like bursts of pollution.
I noted that at least on my I watched this on Hulu, and there was an ad break between Bender saving the day and awarding the Medal of Pollution, which Yeah, this like we come back from the ad and we do the medical pollution, and it's probably like 30 to 45 seconds of content and then credits. And that's very unusual. I wonder if this was like a season 5 thing of now that they have like different ad placements, different time
Maybe.
requirements, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Keep an eye on that. But yeah, we find out that there's now one extra week in the year and it's robot party week. So
yeah,
that's nice.
See, this is why I'm down for it. Let's
this is kind of funny. In Professor Farnsworth's flashback, Mom's hair is a darker gray than it was in the Mother's Day episode.
Oh man.
Ridiculous.
Maybe that was further back in time then.
Yes, maybe so. What else? I'm trying to see if there's anything else good. Morbo's quote, "Windmills do not work that way," is referenced by the Neopets virtual item, "The Way Windmills Work," with the description, "Windmills do in fact work that way."
Isn't there, there's some new social media thing. Maybe I was like trolled. I thought there was like some new Gen Alpha social media space called Neospace, which
well, there is something new coming, I think. But like Neopets, Kirsten talked about this on Tuca and Bird Pod, and she's back in it, baby. And
she's
I was
back
just like,
in
what?
Neopets.
Like Neopets has been like, I don't know, overhauled revived. Such that like it doesn't need Flash anymore. I don't know. Anyway, I was baffled.
Interesting. I mean, everything old is new again. Like, it's not surprising for Neopets to get a reboot. But yeah, I don't know. Any Gen Alpha or Gen Z that is listening, let me know if I've been, like, trolled about a new social
like
media.
New MySpace,
I think
right?
Yeah. Heard this on, I must have heard this on some
News
RJP.
AF, I think.
Yeah.
New MySpace. Space, hey.
Space, hey, has great SEO.
It says, recreates MySpace as no space.
No space, not Neospace.
No.
I mean, it is the New York Post. That is reporting on this.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, maybe we'll leave Twitter and join NoSpace. And
there you go.
You can follow all of Pod of Tomorrow on NoSpace.
On NoSpace, exactly. All right. Who won this episode, Alex?
I mean, humanity averting global warming is like a pretty huge win.
Yes,
that'd be great. You know, that's maybe one of the biggest wins of the entire series, just in terms of like existential dread. I mean, I guess there's a lot of existential threats in Futurama, but... when looking at it through the lens of reality, this would be a nice one to win.
Yes. Who lost? Wernstrom?
Wernstrom lost. Did anyone die?
I don't think so.
Someone was being stabbed a lot from...
oh, yeah, by Roberto.
By Roberto.
Wernstrom foiled again. That seems good.
The turtles. I don't know if all the turtles made it.
True. Yeah. And their tulip tombs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Alex, next week is a big one.
Oh.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, I mean, I obviously know the dog episode.
Mm-hmm.
I know the ending is very sad. I know the dog waits forever. I don't know the actual plot of what is happening. Like, Fry remembers his dog, Fry gets a new dog, something like that. Like, I don't know how we get to the dog storyline.
Yes, well, we will find out. I very conscientiously avoid this episode, and here we go. So,
are you a big dog person? You don't have any dogs, do you?
No, I don't. I like dogs. I'm not one of these people that's like, I can't watch a movie unless I know no dogs will be harmed or whatever. Yeah. But like, it's just such a sad episode.
Yeah,
devastating, and I don't like to feel things. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, where can people get in touch with us, Alex, if they would like to express their feelings?
podoftomorrow@gmail.com. Express all your feelings. Tell us about any capstone presentations, even if they don't involve Futurama. We'll look it up.
Yes.
We'll talk about it. And at Pod of Tomorrow on Twitter. Let's see. I haven't been there for a while. I don't think we have anything. Let's see. If I look at notifications, yes, Fernando. Fernando's been tweeting at us. And you know what? I think the bots have given up. I think even the bots know.
We've overcome the bots. So great. All right.
Uh-oh.
Incredible. All right. Well, with that, we will see you next time for Jurassic Park. Get ready to cry.
Bye.